Hello and welcome to Press TV News Analysis. I'm Kaveh Tafi. In this edition of the News Analysis, we'll look deep into Turkey's role in the situation in Syria. The aspects that have fueled the crisis are well known: armed groups, terrorist groups supported by Western and some Arab countries, including the support by Turkey of these militants, which includes providing them with sophisticated weapons and giving terrorists, including Al-Qaeda, free access to Turkey to come to Syria. With a population of some 15 to 20 million Alawite Muslims and the surge in the PKK attacks, what could be the fallout of Turkey's involvement in the crisis in Syria? Is Ankara's policy of zero problems with its neighbors a part of history as the crisis drags on? These are some of the questions that I'll be asking for my guests in this edition of the News Analysis.
Fears over the fallout of the unrest in Syria into its neighbors are now becoming a reality. The sign of the spillover, a surge in attacks by members of the PKK in Turkish provinces close to the Syrian border. Only on Thursday, 21 people, including Turkish soldiers and PKK fighters, were killed by a planted mine attack and a subsequent shootout in southeast Turkey. Officials in Damascus have repeatedly criticized Turkish officials for sending arms to the armed groups in Syria, what many say has already helped deteriorate stability on both Syrian and Turkish soil.
The aspects that are that have fueled this crisis are well known: armed groups, terrorist groups, support by regional circles, including the dangerous support by Turkey of the terrorist gangs, of providing these with sophisticated weapons, and of giving each terrorist in the world, including Al-Qaeda, free access to Turkey to come to Syria.
A few years ago, Turkey announced a new foreign policy aimed at zero problems with its neighbors. The policy, however, seems to be crumbling. The attacks by PKK fighters are only one sign of a backlash of policies toward the Syrian situation. About 20% of Turkey's population is Alawites Muslim, followers of an offshoot of Shia Islam. Their discontent toward the deteriorating conditions of their peers in Syria can set off alarms in Ankara. But a far larger setback of Ankara's position on the Syrian situation may come from its support for extremists that have taken up arms in Syria. Some experts warn that this situation resembles the emergence of the Taliban in Afghanistan with the help of Pakistan. The birth of the group and its rise to power caused years of instability and sectarian violence in both Pakistan and Afghanistan, the cost of which continues to this very day. Turkey's zero problems foreign policy is history due to the ongoing conflict in Syria and its related regional turbulence. But an increasing divergence of perspectives and policies in Syria could even further undermine Turkey's relations with its neighbors, as Ankara's position seemingly moves closer to countries like the U.S., Saudi Arabia, and Qatar.
Let's get this conversation going. Let me introduce our guest. From the Executive Intelligence Review, Lawrence Freeman joins us from Baltimore. We have Chairman of the International Relations Department from the Middle East University, Hossein Bakshi, who joins us from Ankara. And author and historian Webster Griffin Tarpley joins us from Washington. Gentlemen, welcome. I'd like to start with you first, Hossein Bakshi, Turkey's Republican People's Party member. You might be familiar with him. Refik Er Yilmaz has said southern Turkey has become a hotbed for training Syrian armed fighters in guerrilla warfare. Tell us, why do you think Turkey has decided to become the main stronghold of foreign forces against President Bashar al-Assad?
I think Turkish foreign policy in recent years have been in the same line with the United States of America and also with the European Union when the Arab Spring has started. And indeed, Turkey has been in the last few years in particular, have been changing her policy towards the neighboring countries, beginning with Syria. The relations have deteriorated, and at the moment the Syrian government has difficulties because Turkey is not anymore the ally, if you want, of Syria as it was the case in the recent years. I think the most important part that Turkey is trying now to get rid of from Bashar Assad regime is the policy which Turkey has followed from the very beginning. President, Prime Minister, and Foreign Minister, they all put, if you want, the, all the eggs in the same basket, and they have one aim that the Turkish policy is directing that Bashar Assad regime is out of Syrian state structure. So this is, of course, not only Turkey's policy, but policy of the United States of America and of the European Union, and Turkey is following this line. The fact that Turkey is supporting the Syrian opposition and that Turkish border is at the moment not so safe as before is the consequence, of course, of this policy. At the moment, Turkey has more than 70,000 Syrians coming into the country, and the number is increasing every day. Probably it will be soon more than 100,000 people, and this of course, has also implications concerning the Southeast Anatolian activities of PKK, which has creating great harms to Turkish public and to Turkish army. In Turkey, we have some views at the moment that Bashar Assad regime is supporting PKK and related terror organizations, and that Turkey is at the moment facing indeed certain terror organizations convention in Southeast Anatolia is exactly what you have described, that Turkey's East Anatolian part is at the moment, if you want, like a fair of all the terrorist groups from Al-Qaeda to PKK. So this is not surprising anyone, but it is important that it creates instabilities on the Turkish border.
Lawrence Freeman, from what our guests there in Ankara said, I didn't make out any positive thing that would be in it for Turkey, this being a Turkey who declared a foreign policy of zero problems. That was a pillar with its neighbors. But of course, we can see that how that has complicated its relationships with Iraq, with Iran, with Russia. We have to mention them. And of course, with Syria. So why did it choose to risk that policy?
This is
Go ahead, Lawrence Freeman.
Clearly, the Prime Minister, Erdogan, is not following the policies of the founder of Turkey, Atatürk. And he has thrown his lot, Erdogan has thrown his lot in with the United States, with Great Britain, with Qatar, with the Saudis. And as a result of this, there is real question of how Turkey is going to survive, because now the whole question of a Kurdish autonomous independent country along the Turkish-Syrian-Iraq border is now emerging once again. And I think that we have to look beyond Turkey, because if you look at the statements that have come out of Cameron, of the Prime Minister of England, and you look at the statements that have come out of Barack Obama earlier this week, clearly they intend on using this situation and using Turkey to ignite a war. And the Russians and the Chinese, again yesterday, made very clear that this is a principle for them to defend the sovereignty of Syria. So right now, the biggest problem is President Obama. And President Obama should have left office and should be forced out of office immediately. Otherwise, we could have a war by September, October, November, and Turkey is just being used for this. And they should cut it out immediately if they want to survive as a country.
What do you mean when you say we can have a war?
I'm sorry?
You said we can have a war. Can you explain that a little bit clearer? Who is going to have a war on whom?
Okay, the Russians, Medvedev, Putin, and General Makarov of the Russian staff, military staff, have said that they will not allow another Libyan to occur, another regime change and assassination of a president. And that's exactly what Obama is now proposing. If you look at the language being used on movement of chemical weapons, threats to move chemical weapons. This is exactly the language that was used by Tony Blair in the fall of 2002 to manufacture the myth that Saddam Hussein was going to launch a nuclear weapon on Europe. And then, of course, the United States, George Bush and Cheney picked up on it. The Russians are saying very clearly, if you militarily attack or try to overthrow this regime, you're going to have to deal with us. And that could bring in the question of a war by this fall, and it could be a nuclear war. And people should be very, very careful about how serious this situation is so we don't go to war. And the best thing to do would be to remove President Obama as soon as possible.
Well, let's, Webster Griffin Tarpley, let's look at some of the different ways this has backfired. Perhaps you can tell us more. Our two guests did talk about the emergence of a Kurdish entity in northern Syria that would clearly be an asset, obviously, to the PKK. You can tell us more on the growing number of attacks by PKK plus Turkish Kurds, who in the meantime are being emboldened in terms of wanting autonomy.
We have to remember that Obama was allegedly on the telephone every week with Erdogan, urging him on, playing on his vanity, playing to his ambition. Now, the Turkish government for the last few years wanted to become a regional hegemon. They also had ideas about pan-Turkic spheres of influence. And at the beginning, this was not all bad when they tried, for example, to mediate the nuclear dispute with Iran, joining with Brazil to do that. That had some positive elements in it. But I would say after the fall of Egypt, after the fall of Mubarak, the Turkish government was conned into this idea of a new Ottoman Empire. And with the new Ottoman Empire, you go from zero problems to dozens and dozens of serious problems. And as you point out, the most serious is the Kurds. Now, the PKK. Who is the PKK? Well, Seymour Hersh has informed us in recent years that the CIA supports the PKK. The CIA tries to use the PKK against Iran. In recent years in France, in the boudoir, as it was called, Danielle Mitterrand, the wife of French President Mitterrand, was a great patroness of the PKK. Less than a year ago, Avigdor Lieberman, the Israeli foreign minister, said that Israel would start supporting the PKK to punish Turkey for the behavior of the Turks in the Mavi Marmara Gaza flotilla. There are also stories that NATO through Greece supports the PKK. And I think this is what Turkey would have to understand. I wish Turkey well. I've been there. I've met a lot of political leaders in Turkey. They have to understand that the alliance with the US and the British is a lethal embrace. In other words, the Anglo-Americans are going to love them to death. They will play them against Syria in the full knowledge that the blowback from that conflict is likely to destroy modern Turkey. So they should cease and desist. There's nothing to gain in this and everything to lose. And it has a lot to do, I'm afraid, with the psychology of Erdogan and Davutoglu, who have been essentially conned by Obama. And naturally, this question of Russia does loom very large. You know, in the 19th century, there was a Russo-Turkish war every 20 years. Now, in recent decades, there hasn't been a Russo-Turkish war, but you're getting into a geometry where you really don't want to go. So it would be important, I think, to see that the Syrian armed forces are succeeding against the rebels inside Syria. They're essentially quelling the rebellion. And at the same time, it looks like the center of gravity may well shift to Saudi Arabia and Qatar and these places, where I think some kind of revolutionary action, an authentic revolutionary action, is actually coming forward. But right now, the Turks have turned over their entire southern region to the CIA. The CIA is running wild. The CIA rules the hotels of Iskenderun, filling them up with Al-Qaeda terrorists. The CIA rules the Adana base there near Incirlik. So they've essentially invited in all of these terrorist elements, and the blowback will be severe.
Hossein Bakshi, which begs the question, then, why is it that Turkey has taking this decision? We're reverting back to my initial question here to you. I mean, we just had our guest there talk about how the United States, not to mention Israel, supports the PKK. And here there's this problem now that Turkey is not embracing the fact that it's embracing, for example, the United States that supported the PKK. I mean, you had a protest in Ankara just earlier. What about the people themselves? Now, these being Turkish civil servants who protested against terrorism, and they held banners that read, "Our house is burning, our prime minister is busy with neighbors' houses." Isn't Turkey worried?
I think the Turkish government is in the same line with the United States of America, England, Saudi Arabia, and Qatar. This is the policy of the government, no doubt about it. The question is whether PKK is supported by Israel, by Greece, or by any other country, by Iran, or by Bashar Assad, is another matter. PKK is a problem for Turkey in the last 35 years, and probably it will continue to be a further domestic problem. I mean, the Syrian events have nothing to do automatically now with PKK. PKK has now a very interesting environmental advantage that in northern Iraq we have Barzani forces, and now in Syria we have certain Kurdish groups fighting against the Bashar Assad regime, and Turkey is supporting them. This is interesting. At the same time, Turkey is not anymore to control the entire region alone. I agree on one point, that zero problem has been a failure, no doubt about it. This policy has been not successful. This is one of the most important critics on Turkish foreign policy. But Turkey's fight against PKK will continue. Doesn't matter how much it cost to Turkey in the sense of life, in the sense of material spending. The fact is that the Kurds at the moment try to get a political autonomy, not necessarily an independent state, but they debate about the status, a new status. And I think at the moment, the Turkish politics, economy, or psychology is not able to grant any autonomy to the Kurds, PKK, what they expect from Turkey.
Well, why don't we stop there and have you explain to us why you think, sorry to jump in, why you think this zero policy that the Turkish government had was a failure? What makes you think it's a failure compared to what it is doing now, which is basically having its territory on its borders being threatened, including, obviously, the dissatisfaction of many across the board inside Turkey?
Right. Zero problem was good on the paper, and it was before the Arab Spring. In one point, the critic is, of course, that Turkey has been very much trying to support this type of activities in Syria, like Syrian Free Army, which is strongly criticized also in Turkey. But I repeat it again, Turkey is acting according to the American, British, and the European line. So this is the line which Turkey follows. And in one point, that the Saudis and the Qatar, that they support financially all these activities, it is well known. Therefore, Turkey was failing, and I underline this, that the Turkish government has not calculated that the Russians, Chinese, and the Iranians would support Bashar Assad regime so strongly, contrary to the other Arab countries like Egypt, like Tunisia, like Libya, etc. If we talk about a misperception, or if we talk about miscalculation of Turkish government in case of Syria, yes, it is so. It is a debate which is going on also here in Turkey, because the subsequence of this is that PKK is getting indeed much more strong support from certain countries. What CIA is doing in Turkey is another issue which we don't have time to debate here, but I can only again underline that Barzani is now the emerging Kurdish leader in the region, and Barzani is at the moment somehow the counterpart for Turkey to deal with the Kurdish issue and with PKK issue.
Okay.
Whether this policy is the right one,
let me bring in Lawrence Freeman.
Is debatable.
Sorry to jump in. Lawrence Freeman, let's talk a little bit
One sentence.
I'm sorry, but we're quickly running out of time. Lawrence Freeman,
it's okay.
Our guest prior to that, Webster Griffin Tarpley, talked about the CIA running amok. Let's talk a little bit about that. Basically, the Hatay province is in the hands of what is said to be CIA and Israeli agents, with military defectors setting up bases for the Free Syrian Army in the southern part of Turkey, which is trained and coordinated by Qatari and Saudi officers, set to be a nerve center. How much of the authority of its authority has Turkey given away by allowing this to happen?
Well, it's clear that under Obama, there is now a major involvement. Right now it's clandestine, but it could change very quickly because of these threats over chemical weapons. And Turkey has allowed the southern border to be used by various elements of the CIA to channel arms and other and money and so forth into the so-called Syrian rebellion. But the problem they have is that the Syrians, so-called Syrian rebels, are themselves terrorists. Then now you see a more prominent role being played by Al-Qaeda, who is also, if you go back to 2001, was partly funded and created by the Saudis. And the U.S. has declared them our enemy, but now they're acting as our ally. And the U.S. is saying, and Obama is saying, well, we have to make sure that these chemical weapons are not used, but if we overthrow the government, who is going to get to these chemical weapons but the very terrorists that we allegedly have been opposed? So Turkey has presented itself, and it's true, a portion of their operation is being run from the outside. And I think people should take very seriously how dangerous this is. Turkey is a pawn. They're not the initiator. They shouldn't be involved. They're a pawn. And we have right now Obama is behaving in a Nero-like maniacal mode to use this situation to start a war. And all of us will suffer if there is a global war.
And Webster Griffin Tarpley, how much of a pawn is Turkey based on the plans of which some camps say is part of the plans for creating this chaos across the entire Middle East to ignite multiple regional conflicts for this new Middle East, as they call it, by the United States and its allies, and of course, Turkey being one of the victims?
Well, there is this document called the Bernard Lewis Plan. If you look on the internet under Bernard Lewis Plan, you're likely to find a map which I caused to be circulated. It's carving up every existing nation in the Middle East. It wants mini states, micro states, rump states, secession, partition, subdivision. It's to destroy everybody. And that is the plan for Syria, but it's also the plan for Turkey. So I would appeal to elements of the Turkish opposition to call a halt to this reckless and irresponsible politics. Now, naturally, here in the United States, getting rid of Obama at this point would solve nothing. We would need to break up the CIA. Break up the CIA and extirpate this disease of imperialism, root and branch, in all of its forms. If you look at Romney is surrounded by neocons, people like Bolton, Senor, the Kagans, hardline, really aggressive neocons all around Romney. He's successfully kept them in the background. Most people have no idea of the warmongers and madmen that are providing Romney with foreign policy advice. But if you got rid of Obama and switched to Romney, the CIA would have an even easier time of running these things. So I'm afraid a more thoroughgoing house cleaning has to be in order here in the United States, right? President Kennedy said if he got reelected, he would break up the CIA. We know what would happen to him, what happened to him then. So it's not an easy task, but I think that would certainly be the U.S. American patriots could contribute to that.
Okay, thank you very much. We're unfortunately out of time. Let me thank our guests from the Executive Intelligence Review, Lawrence Freeman. They're from Baltimore. Chairman of the International Relations Department at the Middle East University, Hossein Bakhchi from Ankara. We'd love to have you back for a continuation of these talks. Also, author and historian, you were just listening to Webster Griffin Tarpley there from Washington. Thank you for watching another edition of the Press TV News Analysis, newsroom at PressTV.ir for any comments or suggestions. From me, Kavitafoy, and the entire team, it's goodbye.